This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Think of a moment, if you will, a moment in your life when your perspective changed for the better. Something that shifted for you in a big way. Just think about that through your whole life. I have three stories to share with you as examples of that. Two from my own life, one light, one really heavy, and then another story that's pretty amazing and unexplainable. So the first one was when I was 16 years old. I'd just gotten my driver's license, and my parents let me take the car to the beach for the afternoon. We lived here in Boynton. And I have to tell you, at the time, I was not really into church. I came with my parents to this place, actually, once in a while. I didn't go to the youth group. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't read any spiritual readings. And I don't know if I was listening to some kind of song on the radio or I had watched something on TV the night before or what. But as I was going over the Ocean Avenue Bridge, and I got to the top of the bridge on my way to the beach, the thought occurred to me, God is love. And it just hit me, and I didn't know where it came from. I got to the other side of the bridge, and it was just like I had this new awareness in my life. I don't know what it was, and I cannot explain it, but I think back on that moment time and time and time again ever since, because it was that profound in my formation and continues to be. That's the first story. Second story is from a conversation that I had with my older sister, Terry, and she gave me permission to tell this story. Every summer, we would go camping up at Ocala National Forest with my family on a summer vacation. And so one day she called me up and she said, could you come over tonight? I just want to tell you something that's really important. We were both in our 30s. We were married, we had little kids, and our husbands were off doing something, so she said, why don't you just come on over, bring the kids, we'll make dinner, and we'll put them to bed, and then we can talk. So I said, okay. So I go over to her house, wondering what it was all about. Had a great dinner, put the kids down for bed, and as soon as they nodded off, we decided to go out back, because they had this great hot tub, and the weather was kind of like it is right now, just this spectacular paradise kind of weather. It was a perfect night to sit out under the stars and be in a hot tub. And so we settled into the tub and she began to talk. And something in me kind of tightened up and I knew that in that conversation, nothing would ever be the same again, especially for her. I don't know what was going on with my intuition, but I knew this was going to be something big. So she began to talk, and as she did, it was kind of a low voice, and she began to sob a little bit, and she said, do you remember when we went camping up in Ocala? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, one summer, when I was 13, we were up there. I was 4 years younger, so I'm not really paying attention to what she's doing at that age, but she said, there was this really handsome lifeguard. My stomach tightens a little bit more. She said, we went out for a walk. Mom and Dad let me go for a walk with him at night. And she said, he raped me. So then, she began sobbing, this heaving cry like all of us have to do once in a while in our lives. And I started crying, and she cried some more. And then she calmed down, and I calmed down. And everything felt lighter somehow. it just shifted. It felt like the ground had shifted underneath us and everything was a little bit different. You know, we were looking at things differently. And in that moment, we had both taken a deep breath. We hear this hooting of an owl. I kid you not. And we looked up, and she had a clothesline in her backyard, and at this clothesline pole was right near the hot tub, and we looked up, and sure enough, there's this little burrowing owl. Cutest little thing sitting right there, looking down at us, as if to say, I'm here listening, and I will guard you. Never saw an owl in her backyard, or since. And he stayed there. And we talked some more, and we talked some more. And then finally, after much more talking, she decided that this burden, now mind you, she had carried that secret for 20 years without telling anybody except her husband. She told him right before they got married. She never told me. She never told our mom. We used to tell our mom everything. Never told anybody. And she had carried that secret for 20 years. Well, in that moment, when things had lightened and she had let it go, she decided that she was going to have to start telling her story. And that's exactly what she did. And she told family, she told my mom, she told our brothers and sisters. She got some counseling, and little by little, month after month, layers and layers of fear and guilt and trauma just fell off of her. Fell off of her, and she emerged into a joy that was a real transformation and transfiguration of her life and many, many other lives. Many other lives. When we decided to get out of the hot tub, then we looked up, and that little owl was gone. He had gone. That's the second story. I told you it was heavy. Now, the third story is from a book by Rob Bell, and the title is What We Talk About When We Talk About God. And he said that he was giving a lecture in Boston, and that after the lecture, this woman came up to him and she said, I have to tell you this story of something that happened. And he said, well, what? And she said, a long, long time ago, I had cancer. I've been healed of it since, but a long time ago, I didn't know that I was going to recover from this cancer, and I was in the hospital, and it was late at night, and they had given me a really bad prognosis, told me I was going to die. And she said, I was petrified, and I was in this deep despair, and didn't know what I was going to do. And the night nurse came in and began to take care of me, in such a loving way, and she kept coming back. And I talked to her a little bit. And she talked to me in a way that gave me hope and courage. And something changed in my life, she told Rob. And in the morning, she said, when she woke up, she just felt different. And she knew she was going to be healed of that cancer. She just knew it. The morning nurse came in and she asked the morning nurse for the name of the night nurse, gave her a complete description. And the morning nurse says, we do not have anybody that works here on the floor by that description. I guarantee you. I've been here for a long time. I don't know anybody. Our aides don't look like that either. You must be mistaken. What do you do with that? You can explain it away if you want, or not. Or not. The name in our church for these kind of moments are theophanies. Theo is God. Phani is like an experience. So God moments. And that's exactly what the disciples experienced with Jesus in our gospel story. It's seeing the divine through human eyes. Jesus had taken Peter and James and John up on this mountaintop alone, apart. And they look up and they have this vision of Jesus with two men on either side, Moses and Elijah. And they had lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. Moses represented all the law, Elijah, all the prophets. So it was the basis of his Jewish heritage. And he was there with them. In the middle, the culmination, if you will, in a visual form, in love. In love. And the disciples, when they looked up, they could hardly look at him because he was so dazzling white. They couldn't even look at him. And so Peter, not knowing what to say, said, well, let's just stay here. We'll just stay here. I'll put up a couple tents. We just won't leave. This is an amazing mountaintop experience. And then a cloud comes. This voice comes from heaven saying, this is my son. Listen to him. And then the vision was gone. Came down from the mountain. A theophany to instruct us in our daily lives. So how do we notice them? How do we see those kind of moments in our own lives in every day? In every day. As human beings, we do one of three things when we hear stories like this. Like any kind of stories like this that we can't explain, or miracles or angel stories or whatever. We, one, either deny them and say they have nothing to do with God. They can easily be explained in some way. We just haven't figured it out yet. So that's one way we human beings respond. Secondly, we've become speechless. We don't want to tell the story for fear that somebody's not going to believe us. Or we think, oh, they'll think I'm crazy if I talk about that experience. And thirdly, we have the courage to share it with another human being. Be it an insight that came to you, or a deep conversation with another human being that needs to happen for healing, like it did with my sister, or these amazing healing stories, or these fleeting things that are God moments, like holding a newborn baby for the first time. You know that feeling? I always cry when I go in these hotel rooms, the hospital rooms, and there's this newborn. It's amazing. Or you feel deep gratitude all of a sudden that you can't explain. Or you notice an exquisite sky. Or you see in the midst of something horrible happening, somebody being compassionate or true or silent and peaceful. These God moments are real. And they happen. And as a Christian, and I pronounce it that way on purpose, I'm starting to call myself a Christian now, not a Christian, because when we say Christian, it means so many other things to so many people, and popular culture has hijacked that term to mean something that I don't embrace. So as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, we are called to tell the good news of love. And to tell the good news when these God moments happen, to first, A, notice them, and B, to do that number third thing. Risk talking about it in love with one another. Risk that. Notice Christ. It will change everything. Amen.